Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the contradiction between an all-loving supreme being and punishment. Listen as we explain the difference between the law of karma and the divine law of life. In this show, we will discuss the function of karmic law as a catalyst to promote acceptance of divine presence and not punishment for behavior. The cycle of death and rebirth rewards and punishes. Don't get fooled by appearances. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the divine law of life. Swami, I see the title of today's show is The Meaning of the Wrath of God. So first of all, let's talk about what is the wrath of God?
Well, I think a lot of us identify with any kind of catastrophe. We experience oftentimes what's talked about in the Bible, the plagues that come on a larger scale. But then also in your personal experience, you know, it's any kind of discord or disease or anything that falls out of being in accordance with the perfection of being. Anything that doesn't have the qualities of the divine. And so, primarily in the Old Testament, is really kind of referred to as the wrath of God. It became apparent to me after a while, especially after studying Christian Science and the Infinite Way and their understanding of the scriptures. You really start to see that what the Old Testament was referring to, this wrath of God, was really referring to the law of karma, the material law. What we put out is what we get back. That's something that I think most of us have fallen into the trap of believing that that is God. And it's not the one true God that is really referred to in Scripture, because God is absolute goodness. God is eternal life. There is no opposite in God. And so getting out of that belief in two powers is really where we're heading with this kind of information.
So if we can get back to the Old Testament for a minute. The punishments that were perceived in the Bible as being, like you say, in the plagues, for example, or any other kind of catastrophe that he brought on, you know, the flood and things like that. So are you saying that those probably didn't really happen, that it was just like a symbolism for something else?
Well, that part, I'm not sure whether it was a metaphor for what we're talking about is this revelation about what is really going on in consciousness. It's kind of like a way, becomes a language. These symbolic languages are ways of us understanding the inner landscape of this human experience. And it's pretty complicated as we are starting to learn. But the thing that rewards and punishes oftentimes was considered coming from this Lord God, which really is the law of karma. As we start to educate ourselves and start to see just how these things really play out, because that was something that I really started to get from science and health with key to the scriptures, that she really kind of shows you that the Bible is a life chart. And these stories in the Bible, whether you interpret them literally or metaphorically, they are giving you the buoys and the healing currents of your inner landscape. And so by using this symbolism, you can start to understand that there's a big difference between karmic law and divine law. Just like we have always been talking about, is trying to get out of this cycle of death and rebirth. What in yoga they call liberation really means that you step out of the law of karma. But what we weren't really clear about was what you're stepping into. You must have attention or awareness for spirit as cause, the causal spiritual body. And if you have attention for it, and you have fidelity to it, then it has a profound effect on your external experience.
So I want to get back to the punishment aspect. And I know the Bible has a lot of stories about the people when they worship other gods other than God with a capital G, then this punishment comes forth. And to me, that's like saying to us in this law of karma that if we have something else that's in a position above God, then the punishment comes to us just from this particular law. We reap what we sow, so to speak.
Right. And the way that we interpret these stories, we kind of look at it as regulation of behavior. Like we are performing a certain standard of conduct in order for us to get these rewards. And in truth, it doesn't play like that at all. That's what we call the old theology now, because it's not like a cosmic popularity contest. It's not like God doesn't want us to have a particular way. And this whole thing of false gods has ramifications, and it is experienced as punishment. The bottom line is that if we don't have attention for this one divine presence, then we have attention for something else. We have a belief in something other than this one divine presence. And that is what becomes the origins of all of our problems, because we are disconnected from our divine origins. And whether we realize it or not, things like sin, sickness, suffering, death are just a belief in something other than this one divine presence. And once you start to understand it from that perspective, then it really starts to have pragmatic application. To understand just exactly how it's working, and to say that anything that's reporting in your material senses, your five senses, is really a belief in something other than this one supreme being, this spiritual fact of creation, is really, that's how far you have to go with this.
I'm hoping you can shed some light on how we can change our perception of what we think God really is.
Yeah, I think that comes with education, with learning. God is the invisible, intangible divine presence. It is what is the light of this world. It is life itself. It is love itself. But it's very important to understand that it doesn't report in your five senses. And so the tendency here is to drop down into our, what I will call, normal mode of thinking, which is rational thinking, using your five sense mind and the information that is coming in through the testimony of these senses, is our personal ability to form thoughts and opinions. like Mary Baker Eddy told us, that that's human conjecture. That is forming a conclusion with incomplete information because you're not looking at the truth. You're looking at a reflection or a thought about it. And so for us to understand this concept of God, we really have to start to understand ourselves in the way that we are created by this divine principle, which is spiritual, that we are an eternal spiritual being. We are infinite. We are immortal. We are limitless. And these are things that transcend this false sense of being a material, finite, corporeal being. And so just working with that and starting to get away from the anthropomorphic concept of God being a human with supernatural powers, and moving more into this spiritual understanding of this divine presence.
I remember reading a few days ago a passage, and I honestly can't remember where I have read this, but something to the effect of, because we are born, we are already in this karmic wheel, and we have to do a lot of work to get out of that. Would you agree with something like that?
Right. And it's kind of interesting because in Revelations, it talks about the second death. And when you're reading it and you come upon that, and you think, well, if this is my life, what are they talking about the second death? And actually, our birth is really our death to Christ consciousness and our acceptance of mortality. And that was considered to be our first death. And then, of course, if we accept this mortality, then we have a lifespan. And then the way that theology has kind of covered over their inability to explain just how the truth of being is working, they worked with a life after death, which again are human concepts. They're not really the truth of being because spirit is eternal. It is unchanging. It is forever here and now. And it is the eternal now. It's not the now that can become past or at some time become future. It's a very different mode of thinking. And we have to acclimate ourselves to that and learn how to think. And I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says, to think with God as God, which means that we have to forsake our modes of human thinking in order for us to even comprehend what it is that we're trying to talk about here. Because this wisdom surpasses human understanding.
So I think I understand what you're talking about the behavior. So we have to change how we think about our behavior. So whether we have good behavior or bad behavior, that's still placing us in and on this karmic wheel because we're not supposed to have any judgment.
Right. And basically, I'm not even sure if that's accurate to say we don't have judgment. We must judge righteously. Which means we have to move out of our personal mentality, our ability to form thoughts and opinions based on the appearance, which is karmic law, which is material law. We're looking at something that is finite and limited. So we're trying to form conclusions with incomplete information at that point. And with that mentality about conduct and behavior, at the very best you're going to become is a good human. And there really isn't much benefit with being a good human because you still have a belief in matter and you are still under the law of karma. You're in the cycle of death and rebirth. And the only way that we can get liberation from that is to transcend our belief in matter, our material moorings, and assume spiritual identity. We need to know ourselves in the way that we're known by the Creator.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, earlier you had mentioned the Old Testament and the New Testament. Old Testament, we read a lot about the stories of the wrath of God. Is there anything like that in the New Testament? Are we talking about the wrath of God being perceived in those books?
Well, I think with Christ, I think the message started to shift into this loving Father image, that God was more of a loving God. Actually, that's the message in Genesis 1, that God is the creator of this universe and everything is good. And so it kind of goes full circle. It comes back to this belief in a loving, forgiving Father image of this divine presence. The more we understand it, I think the wrath of God can also really be said to be the love of God, because it is really this loving Father that isn't letting us accept anything less than the perfection of our being. So, like I had said a little earlier, these experiences that we have with sin, sickness, suffering, discord is just a belief in something other than this divine presence. But in reality, it's really not this divine cosmic puppeteer overseeing our behavior, that we really are a reflection of this divine presence, that it's a very different dynamic. What's really happening is what has divine origins and is created by this divine principle is perfect, it's whole, it's complete. And what most of us are experiencing is our human thought about that. And it's really only a false sense. And false sense has no power of existence. It is not backed by principle. Anything that is appearing in our senses really relies on our belief of it to give it the appearance of existence, which means it really is self-destroying because it really has no self-existing power of its own.
So the wrath of God from the Old Testament is really the love of God, because we were desiring something other than Him.
Right. And so we're in violation of spiritual law because we have a belief in something other than this one divine presence that both of the New and the Old Testament are talking about. It. We're also dealing with thousands of years of conscious evolution. So human consciousness on a collective level becomes a little bit more receptive to new information. And even say, for example, what happened 2,000 years after the crucifixion or the resurrection and ascension of Jesus was this revelation of Mary Baker Eddy, which kind of hit the planet by storm. And for some unknown reason by myself, seems to have fizzled out because it really seems like our belief in sickness has surpassed our belief in divine presence.
Well, speaking of Mary Baker Eddy, I see that you have a quote here that we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 57, there's a quote. The wintry blasts of earth may uproot the flowers of affection and scatter them to the winds, but this severance of fleshy ties serves to unite thought more closely to God, for love supports the struggling heart until it ceases to sigh over the world and begin to unfold its wings for heaven. So a lot of times when the outside world is failing us because we're basically using it to validate ourselves. And most of us scramble because we try and fix it by correcting the external circumstance or situation. But this really is a signal. It's a call that, A, I have a belief in something other than the perfection of being. And so the suffering, the pain, the discomfort, these are all motivators to what is referred to now as think differently, or as it was written in the Bible, repent. We really want to turn to this invisible, intangible divine presence as opposed to continue to grasp or hang on to our beliefs in matter, in our reliance of fixing this on an external level. And so as we start to work with this, not just as advice, but really as a demonstrable principle, the presence of this invisible divine perfection of being is a reliable, dependable resource. But A, we have to know it rightly, and we have to have fidelity to it in order for us to be able to demonstrate it in our experiences.
Well, so let's talk about that a little bit more and how we should let our days unfold before us. I know you've been saying, don't try, don't struggle. So can you talk a bit more about how we should be approaching our day-to-day activities in life?
Yeah, the way that I used to say it was senseless optimism. And of course, at that time, I used to say you don't want to be senselessly optimistic. What we really mean by that now is that we want to be senselessly optimistic, but not just denial of the testimony of your senses. What you really want to do is know the truth of being. You want to find the secret place of the Most High that is referred to in the Bible. You want to find that place where your thought is the same as the divine idea, the divine mind, the creative principle of this universe. In order for us to do that, you have to understand that there are different modes of thinking. And you really want to forsake your human modes of thinking, which are really empowered by my will, a personal sense of who I am, driven by the belief in a physical form that has an expiration date, and it's driven by fear. we really want to come out of that. We don't want to just manage that fear. We want to know that we are eternal spiritual beings. This physical appearance is just a concept. It is a thought about who I really am. Now again, we don't negate it because it is the visible part of what we're holding in consciousness. So when you're trying to connect the dots, you really want to look at the testimony of your senses, because if you are experiencing suffering and sickness and discord and conflict in your external experience, then of course it's a signal that you have a belief in something other than this one divine presence. The call here is to change how we're thinking. And then what we have done is we've kind of mapped that out by using the mutable signs to give us clues as to these modes of thinking. The three modes of mortal thought that Mary Baker Eddy talked about in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and also I think the way they're metaphorically represented in the Bible in Revelations with the dragon and two beasts. We want to come out of these modes of mortal thought. We want to come out of the changing conditions of our personal mentality and move from Gemini to Virgo to Sagittarius, and then finally to make your conscious mind an avenue of awareness for divine mind that we'll experience in Pisces.
Speaking of divine mind, I see in the notes you have a sentence that says, divine mind is too pure to behold iniquity. I was just wondering if you could give us more of a definition of that statement.
Right. You know, and we've talked about this, the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And when we talked about that, that to actually see someone as a human corporeal, finite being is false witness. We really have to graduate from our five material senses to our five spiritual senses. We have to perceive things spiritually. And divine mind does not perceive error. It doesn't perceive discord. It doesn't perceive anything that it didn't create. Spirit, truth, only perceives spirit and truth. That's the physics of spirituality, that like attracts like. And so for us to assume spiritual identity and for us to now start to think with God as God, our perception graduates from material sense to spiritual sense. Rather than seeing the human concept about what is before you, you are now abiding in the truth of being, which is the divine creation, which is perfect, whole, harmonious, complete, eternal, and unchanging.
So we shouldn't look at these discords or any type of lack or sickness or whatever conditions we perceive that we have, because you're saying that if God didn't make it, it isn't real. And that's what we really have to come to terms with.
Right. And then to have fidelity to that, but to know it as a truth, to demonstrate it as a principle, is what we're talking about. Not just fake it till you make it kind of a thing, but to know the truth, and it will reveal itself in your external experience. You will now live by the grace of God.
Well, this is a good place. We have to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And when you're on the homepage, you're going to see a fading banner. And when you see that fading banner come up and says Block Talk Radio, you can click that on and that will get you to access to all the Block Talk Radio shows that we've done so far. So Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to start using these opportunities in your everyday life and experience to, as Mary Baker Eddy says, unite your thought more closely to God. And with that, namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.